Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, and please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Welcome to another episode of the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. I'm excited to have our guest, Bruce Concourse, on the pod today. He is the producer of a great new film called Land of Little Rivers that documents the incredible fisheries known as the Catskills in New York. And the good news is, we've set up a special relationship and promotion for the friends of Fly Fishing Journeys. If you go to landoflittlerivers.com and use code FFJ2020, you'll get a discount when checking out. If you're buying a DVD, you'll get free shipping. Or if you're downloading a digital copy, you'll get a discount off that digital copy as well. And remember to use the code FFJ2020 when purchasing your copy to receive those discounts. I do want to dedicate this podcast to the life of Catskill legend Dave Brandt. Dave was an incredible fly fisherman and fly tyer and is well known in the Catskill region and beyond. Dave was one of the central characters in the movie, as well as discussed here on the podcast that we recorded at the Edison, New Jersey Fly Fishing Show. Unfortunately, Dave has passed since then, and we do want to recognize both his accomplishments and his contributions to our sport. Our condolences do go to his family, and as I mentioned here, we want to dedicate this podcast to Dave. Before we get to the podcast, I'm proud to announce that not only is the Fly Fishing Journeys app on the Apple iOS store, but is now also available for Androids on the Google Play Store. So now you'll be able to find the Fly Fishing Journeys app on all your devices. Please do us a favor and head over to the App Store or the Google Play Store, download the Fly Fishing Journeys app, and send us your feedback. The benefits of having the app on your phone is you'll be able to listen to the entire catalog of podcasts, watch the videos and the vlogs, read the articles in our blog section, and have direct access to the social media community right on your phone. I also want to thank our sponsors, Bissell Insurance, Norvice, and The Fly Fishing Show. What do I love about Bissell Insurance? Well, they are the only insurance agency endorsed by AFTA, the American Fly Fishing Trade Association. If you're a business, a lodge, or a guide in the fly fishing or outdoor industry, you really want to give Art at Bissell Insurance a call. You can find them at BisselInsuranceAgency.com. After using my Norvice for almost a year now, I can easily see why it's called the most innovative fly tying system on the market. When people come by the booth at the fly fishing show and see my Norvice, they love it. Either they have one and want to talk about it, or they really want to get one. Some of the main advantages of the Norvice is not only does it rotate, but it fully spins, making your fly tying more efficient and often faster. To check out the Norvice, some online videos, and have access to their online store, visit nor-vice.com. Now let's head to the podcast.
All right, good. And we are here live, and I am with Bruce Concourse, who is the executive producer and the story creator of a great new video coming out. The story is called The Land of Little Rivers. Bruce, thanks for being on our podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
I'm excited because we originally met at the International Fly Tying Symposium back a couple months ago, and you showed me just a quick trailer of your movie. The quality is spectacular. It's on the Catskills, and I said, we need to get you on a podcast because I'd love to hear the story behind the story, if you will. The Land of Little Rivers is a documentary of the origins of fly fishing in the Catskill areas, where some might consider the origins of fly fishing in the entire United States.
That's correct, Rob. Yep. Fly fishing basically began in the Northeast region throughout the Catskills and Pennsylvania. And dry fly fishing happened in the Catskills with a one Theodore Gordon, who received flies from England from a man named Halford. And that floated on the water, and Theodore Gordon adapted those flies for our types of rivers, and that was the birth of dry fly fishing in the United States. And as the books and say, that the Catskills are the birthplace of American dry fly fishing.
Now, tell our listeners who may not know who Theodore Gordon is.
Okay, so Theodore Gordon was an interesting character. He was born in the late 1800s to very wealthy parents in Philadelphia. He became a writer renowned for the predecessor of Field & Stream magazine. He was an author, a writer, a fly tyer. And one day he decided to become a recluse, to give it all up. And he lived in a one-room cabin in the Catskills, where he ended up dying. And for years and years, slowly started to pass on the secret of the traditional Catskill fly, the dry fly. And he passed that on, and that's descended into what the sport became.
Kind of like the father of dry fly fishing, almost.
Well, that's what he's called. He's called the father of American dry fly fishing.
And so he's kind of covered in your documentary, in your movie?
It's covered very well. There's only three known photographs of Theodore Gordon. We found all three of those, and we forensically put them in the movie. So it's documentary style, the movie, so there's going to be a lot of photographs, sort of like a Ken Burns style that he did with baseball or the Civil War. So we lead this thing right into the modern era of fly fishing. And
so this is good, because I want to dive in here. I'm going to have you open up with us a bit, because, you know, when you see this movie, it's 93 minutes long, so it's a little better than an hour and a half. It's high, high quality. So I think you're filming on, like, Reds and really high quality Hollywood-style big-time cameras.
Shot in 4K.
All shot in 4K using helicopters.
We used helicopters, we used drones, we used handhelds. It was, you know, quite a production, and we turned 160 hours of filming into an hour and 33-minute finished product.
We're going to dive into how our listeners can watch it, how they can find it, where they can find it, and so they can dive in and see this movie themselves. But before we get into the story and the movie, this has to be an expensive production to make, Bruce. So I want to talk a little bit about the finance behind the movies and your life and how you became an executive producer and why you took on a project like this. So why don't you give us a little bit of backstory about your career?
Okay. I'm a retired businessman. A lot of businesses which aren't really important, but including the fly fishing industry. I'm a musician and a hardcore fly fisherman. I'm a fly tyer. I'm a pattern designer for two companies of fly patterns. So it started in a very unusual manner. I wrote a song for Rob Lewis, who is in my movie, to go along with his videos for a promotional material for him. So I wrote this song, and it's called Rowan Rob, and it's part of the movie at the end. And then I said to myself, you know, this is an unusual thing that we do, this fly fishing, and no one has ever really done a documentary film. There's plenty of footage of fish being caught and fish coming out of the water, but no one's ever sat down like Ken Burns did with baseball and sort of put some order to the sport. The reason why I did this film was to bring attention to people about this sport, especially the younger people that are involved in fly fishing or want to. I felt it was very important for them to know the history of the sport, as well as going out there with their buddies and having a good time catching fish.
Well, that's all phenomenal. I'm not going to let you get off that easy, because I've seen some of the clips in the movie where you've got this beautiful property right there in the Delaware River. It's actually featured in the movie. Dave is casting into one of these gorgeous pools, which is right off your property. The film cost $1 zillion. So you mentioned you had various careers, which aren't important, but they are important to me, because I'd like to know a bit more about yourself, as how you were able to come into such a great heritage here, and how were you able to fund the movie?
Well, I was lucky enough to grow up in a family business, a successful family business that went through, we were the third generation, and every generation kicked it up a notch, and my brother and I kicked our businesses up enough that...
What was the industry?
Well, we owned a shopping center for real estate, and we owned every business in the shopping center.
Oh.
So we had full-blown grocery. We had 400 and some employees at our peak, a full-blown grocery operation, appliances, what you would look at a Walmart super center as today, but we did it with high-quality stuff. We had a high-end camera department where, you know, we sold every camera of the day when they were hot. We were on the forefront when Atari became popular. We had them. We had Beanie Babies. We were on the top of retailing in 180,000 square feet. Within that complex, we also had a full-blown sporting goods store in operation.
What years was this?
1954, we began.
Okay.
We ran these businesses and this real estate. My parents, my grandparents died. My father died. My brother and I took over completely, which we were anyway.
Yep.
And one day we got, you know, I'm 65 years old, and one day we got an offer from a developer. He wanted to buy our plaza. He wanted to redo the plaza because some of our buildings were from the 1800s. It was a old knife factory.
What area?
In the village of Walden.
Walden, New York.
This is Walden, New York. It was used to be referred to as the Sheffield of the United States because we had three major knife factories in Walden because of the Walkill River and the power generation to run the knife making.
Fantastic. So we've got a plaza, you had a lot of the business within the plaza, high quality businesses, and then you were able to grow those over many years. Well, that's exactly what I was looking for. Let me ask you this. How did you come into this beautiful property on the Delaware?
Well, the piece of property that I have is up on the Upper East Branch of the Delaware, and I've had that for a while. Dave Brandt is in our film. Dave's a Catskill legend. So in the opening, pretty much the opening shots of this film, you see the Neversink Reservoir, which underneath of it is Theodore Gordon's cabin.
Interesting.
They dammed up the Neversink, and that's where Theodore Gordon fished. He fished... The Neversink River is the birthplace of American dry fly fishing, along with very famous people in fly fishing. One named Ed Hewitt, who we mentioned in the movie, had thousands and thousands of acres on the Neversink, many of which that were flooded, but the 6,000 acres that weren't flooded, Ed was very instrumental in bringing landlocked salmon back to the Neversink, and he was a quite influential person. So this opening scene is the Neversink Reservoir because it's where this dry fly fishing started. And then the opening scene is Dave Brandt actually fishing one of the spots, one of the beautiful pools on the Neversink. We actually turned the color back on the film to black and white when Dave, while fishing, describes that this is Theodore Gordon's river.
That's really cool. So do you think you having a place, how long have you had the place there in the Delaware?
40 years.
Okay. Do you think you being kind of a local owner and having this beautiful place on the river kind of birthed this idea inside of you to make this documentary film on the area?
Fly fishing isn't a passion to me, or it's not something that it's what I do. It's everything about me. My whole life, everything I've ever done revolved around when is the next time I can get to the river. So the passion was in me to do this. I never thought I would do a movie, a full-length documentary film, but I retired completely divested myself from every business that I had ever been in. And I guess you sort of get bored and you say, what am I going to do next? And I said, I'm going to make a movie. And I found the director. His name is Aaron Weisblatt. He happened to grow up in the same small town I grew up in. I knew he had made an Academy Award nominated documentary film. And I called him. He was surprised to hear from me. I hadn't heard from him in 30 years. He knew nothing about fly fishing. And we got together. He liked the idea. He loved the characters. I took him one day for 12 hours in my truck with Dave Brandt, showed him what the rivers were, introduced him to all the characters. We had set up in advance that he was going to meet everyone I thought that would make this a well-rounded movie to give people the feel of the modern era. And he fell in love with the idea, and we made a deal, and we set up filming schedule, and it took us a year and a half of actual filming, and then a half a year of editing sound, where you have 5.1 sound, which is the state of the art for movie theaters, where it runs on 6 speakers.
Yeah, this is no joke, guys. This is something you could play at like an IMAX theater or a high-end movie theater with the sound and the quality. So we're going to get to the film, and I promise I'm looking forward to talking all about this film. I just have one more question. You had mentioned that you don't like fly fishing. You're not just passionate about fly fishing, but fly fishing kind of encompasses everything about you. Where did that passion come from?
Well, it didn't come from my parents because they were not fishermen, but my older brother was. But it came from a neighbor whose grandfather was a very fine and well-known fly fisherman. And from the age of probably 7, I hung out with my buddy and his grandfather. And he taught us how to cast. He took us fishing, and that's where the passion started. And actually, when
from
a neighbor's grandfather.
Who is this person? What might we know him?
No, you would not.
Okay,
know him.
All right.
You would not know him. His name was Roland Biesmer. My friend Ron, who learned this trade with me, never kept it up.
How old were you then?
8.
You were 8, and it just never left. You just always
It's never left.
Pursue it.
So when the grandfather died, all his fly fishing equipment went to me because my buddy had no interest in it.
Wow.
So I still have those rods, a Payne, a couple Leonards, and then some other less well-known.
Very cool. Let's get into the movie. Talk a bit about the characters, because we've got Joan Wolfe, Dave Brandt, Rob Lewis, Ben Rinker, Rachel Finn would be some of the main characters, in addition to some additional characters we'll get into. But why did you pick these characters? You mentioned that they would add value to the story on the Catskills.
The word character has a couple meanings, but I picked these characters because they are characters.
For sure.
Characters meaning the ones that a smile comes on your face just at the mention of their name or because of their accomplishments. Joan Wolfe was easy. She's legendary. She is the reason why Rachel Finn fell in love with the sport. Rachel Finn bows down to Joan Wolfe, and she actually did it in the movie. So Joan was a natural. She's the last of one of the true living legends of the sport. Dave Brandt is the bridge between the 1940s and the modern era. Dave was Lee Wolfe's best friend. Dave Brandt was at Joan Wolfe's house the day that Lee died in the plane crash, getting his recertification. Joan got the phone call, and she turned to Dave and said, "You just lost your fishing buddy."
Oh, my goodness.
So Dave's a natural. Dave is the senior member.
Dave took the phone call?
Joan took the phone call.
Joan took the phone call. Joan said to Dave, oh, my goodness.
Joan hung up the phone and said to Dave, "Dave, you just lost your fishing buddy."
Oh, no. Can you imagine Joan Wolfe was more concerned about Dave at that time? Unbelievable. The character of a woman.
Yep.
This selflessness to be concerned about her friend and her husband's fishing buddy. That is incredible.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So Dave is the senior member of the Wolf Fly Fishing School. Dave's been there since its inception. Dave happens to be my fishing buddy. I mean, we fish together, multiple times a week. Dave lives in Oneonta, New York. I'm in Downsville in the summer. It's, we're close. So he hangs out. So Dave was a natural. Rob Lewis, I've known for years.
Hold on, I want to finish on Dave here.
Yeah.
Tell me about Dave as a fisherman now.
Okay, so Dave Brandt. Dave Brandt is in the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum as a legend. Okay, he's on the legend wall. Dave is best known as being a traditional Catskill fly tier.
Okay.
So if you want to learn how to tie a quill warden, Dave Brandt will teach you not just how to tie it, but the inside tricks that he does to work with wood duck. When he builds a fly, it's like building a car at General Motors. It's not slapping stuff on the hook. There's a rhyme and reason, and everything goes in the exact place every time, all the time.
The traditional Catskill dry fly.
A traditional Catskill dry fly, for the most part, is made up of a tail made out of a very stiff hackle. The body is either dubbed or from a quill. The wings are upright, 90% with wood duck, but other feathers were used for the upright wings. And then the skirning pattern of everything is traditionally tied hackle, meaning the hackle tied perpendicular to what will be the fly. There's not a lot of people fishing traditional Catskill flies anymore, but Dave is one that still does, and he is as successful as people that tie more of the modern, more flush patterns. And so Dave is a great tire. He's a fantastic caster. At the school, at the Wolf School, he teaches casting. He teaches stream entomology. He teaches fishing, once you learn to cast, how you get in the water and make that fly presentable to a fish in a way that it'll take it. So Dave is a legendary. He does it all.
You had mentioned that.
I know,
you're very complimentary, and I believe you. I want to talk about Dave's role in the movie, because in some of those clips, I saw him fishing and waiting around. For our listeners who are going to see the movie, give them a picture of some of the fishing that Dave does in the movie.
Okay, so in the movie, Dave is in the opening scene, basically, in the early part of the movie, on the Neversink River, like I said, on Theodore Gordon's water. And so you get to see Dave actually casting, and he has an old school style of casting, you know, on soft tapered rods. Dave's a bamboo guy, as I am as well. So,
did he get the fish to cooperate at all?
Oh, Dave caught a beauty. When you see the movie, Dave opens up, and it really was one of the first things we filmed. Opens up with a beautiful fish that came out of the water, and we captured it all from Dave's perspective. That was done with a drone and handhelds. So we got a beautiful. Now, throughout the movie, Dave does narration in certain parts, you know, talking about Theodore Gordon, talking about the history parts of the movie. Dave does a lot of the narration, so he was instrumental to me.
Let's tie in the director here, Aaron, and talk about how we went about setting up the camera angles and setting up the drone, when to use this, and kind of give our listeners kind of a backstory, a behind-the-scenes look at the making of a movie.
Well, I'm not a movie maker, but I made this one, so here's the way I looked at it. We knew the characters. So the first thing you do is you get to know the characters even better. So we interviewed every character. We went to their houses or they came to a central location where they were nice and relaxed, and we asked them, Aaron, the director, and I formulated a bunch of questions. So we formulated those questions, and they answered those questions. And then we went back with film crews. So every character in the movie has an interview, a regular sit-down interview, and you will hear their stories. And then we put them in the situations that they do best in.
And so the interview kind of winds through the fishing, so it's kind of a back-and-forth type of thing.
Correct. And then once we get on the water with them, everyone was mic'd. We had drift boats. Everyone was mic'd, all the characters. And they were not asked any questions. They just did their thing. They guided clients, and we unobtrusively followed them in drift boats and shot their footage of them casting, catching fish, getting disappointed when they missed a fish. So
for the listeners who aren't quite familiar with the geography, the location here of the Catskills, we're talking about Roscoe, New York?
We're talking the Southwest Catskills, which encompasses the Neversink River, the Willowemoc, the Beaverkill, the East Branch of the Delaware River, the West Branch of the Delaware River, and of course, the main stem of the Delaware, which is formed by the East and West Branches. That's where all the filming was done, in the Catskills. We also filmed in the Adirondacks on Rachel's home stream, the Ausable. We filmed in Vermont at the museums. As well as the fishing in this and the history, we also have a strong presence of conservation in this movie.
So the town, the closest town would be Roscoe?
Well, Roscoe, Hancock, Deposit would be the sort of like the little mini epicenters of when we did filming. We were in those towns.
Yeah, and I want our listeners to get a kind of a feel of Roscoe because it's like Trout Town.
Roscoe is called Trout Town, USA. Roscoe also has is distinguished because it won the award 2 years ago in a national contest for the fishingest town in America.
It's pretty big company there. There's a lot of fishing towns.
Well, it's very disputed because the people who voted, you know, the New York metropolitan area
and
the East has a lot more people voting than in Livingston, Montana.
Yeah. Well.
But anyway, so Roscoe is the epicenter, okay. And not just of the present-day fishing. That's Roscoe and Livingston Manor are where the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum are.
Yep.
And the Catskill Fly Tying Guild, which is trying to uphold the traditional tying of Catskill flies.
Well, let's talk a bit about Rob Lewis. Why did he appear in our movie?
Well, Rob and I are friends. We're both pattern designers for a company. That's how I met him a long time ago. Rob's just crazy. So, and in a fun way, Rob had to be in my movie.
He's too much of a character.
He's a character, right. You know, that's a great thing about this industry, this fly fishing industry. There's a lot of characters in it. And Rob is the ultimate character. Rob is a freewheeling, hard-partying, fun-loving, laughing guide and a great fly tire, a great guide. Everybody has a good time when Rob guides him. You know, he takes a lot of people that don't have a lot of fishing experience, and he just can turn their day into something that's completely memorable. So Rob had to be in there. I mean, Rob is... And Rob had a stable of two young, you know, of young kids, one of which I helped train to tie flies and row a drift boat. His name is Riley Lake. He's in the movie. He's 20 years old. He's a full-time college student, very smart, has his guide's license now, has his own drift boat. So Riley was a natural, you know, and we tried to make this movie appeal to show the youth that's in it, show that there's women in it with Rachel Finn, show the diversity of this. This is a funny, oh, here's what's great about Rob Lewis. What other sport can the CEO of, let's say, Citicorp have to depend on a broken up, busted down guide like Rob Lewis to make his weekend and have the time of his life? So
yeah,
that's what, oh, sorry, Rob, I didn't, you know, broken down. It's not that much of an exaggeration, but maybe a little bit. So in what other
And he does, sport, and he does his job.
He does his job, and this sport is leveling, like Rachel says. It's leveling. You don't have to be a world-class athlete. You just have to, it's a finesse sport, and it's a smart and it's a sport that you use your head, and you have a lot of time to use your head.
Well, tell us specifically what Rob's role in the movie was. Like, what are some scenes?
Okay, some of the scenes with Rob are basically guide's day off, and we spent three full days, just filming Rob and his guiding friends, and I think one client in there, and just fishing scenes, and Rob's, the banter that goes on in a drift boat. Rob only guides out of a drift boat. He can't walk 10 feet without falling over. So it's just the antics that go on inside a drift boat. For that 8-hour period, you are, those two people in your boat or three, that's their world. Your food's there, your adult beverage possibly. So we show the world inside that boat. And one scene is absolutely phenomenal. The young kids love it, where Rob is anchored up on four separate fish along a bank. So Rob calls the play-by-play to these fishermen, like, you got that blank, we had to blanket out fish there, you got the flat rock there, you got the...
Yeah, beep, beep, beep.
Beep, beep. And then Rob says, let's start... beeping.
Let's start beeping.
Yeah. So so that portion of it is an inside look at what really goes on. Now, many people have taken guides, or they personally may have a drift boat, so they know what goes on. But
it's like guide's day off.
Guide's day off. But a lot of people don't really realize all the things that have to happen on a trout river to make you successful.
Okay. And then you had mentioned her. Let's move on over into Rachel Finn. I mean, she's legendary. She just won a major award.
She won the Mark Twain Award. She's a designer for Patagonia.
Mark Twain. Wasn't there an Orvis Award she won as well?
She won the Mark Twain Award last year.
Okay.
Okay, and it was awarded in Boston, which was nice because Rachel's from Boston. And Rachel Finn was easy for me for the movie. She's a redheaded, cigar smoking, whiskey drinking Jewish Irish person. So how can you not show diversity better? How could you, you know, than Rachel? So I'd known Rachel a long time. When I first called her up, she resisted because, you know, she didn't think this thing was for real. She knows I joke around a lot. So we actually filmed Rachel being guided in the Catskills by Ben Rinker, who's a friend of hers. And then we went to the Adirondacks, like I said before, to the O'Sable, and filmed Rachel in her element of guiding a young woman who owns a vineyard, who looks up to Rachel and has been fly fishing for about 4 years. The fishing in the Au-Sable 2 years ago was horrible. They had drought, and Rachel didn't have high expectations. And in the movie, they ended up sticking this huge fish and landing it. So there was a lot of excitement in that shoot, a lot of celebration.
How does her personality come out in the movie? What are some of the scenes in the movie that you see Rachel's personality?
Well, during the interview section of Rachel in the movie, it's great because, you know, she was laughed at sort of like being a woman guide, and she is so tough. She expresses how, you know, she resisted. Rachel was a Yale art school graduate.
Oh.
A fine art graduate, and she was a ass-kicking type of field hockey player. She was like,
oh, she
on
was
the
a good
teams
field
at Yale.
Yeah.
At Yale, she was very athletic. She did all the sports, and when she met her to be husband, so Rachel threatened her husband that she was going to become a better fly fisherman than him, and she did it because Rachel, once she puts her mind to something, she does it. So Rachel, in her interview scenes, shows the toughness and the resiliency and to overcome. In those days, a woman in what was then really a man's sport.
Okay.
Other than the Joan Wolfs of the world.
Right, right.
There weren't a lot of women. And once we started filming her guiding, then her real spirit came out because the girl she was guiding was not really experienced. And Rachel, in a nice way, was telling her everything she did wrong and why she did it wrong. And Rachel's a great teacher, and that came out in the movie, that she's not just a guide, but she can teach the sport because she has the passion for the sport.
Bruce, what are some of the other aspects of the movie we haven't really covered here? I know there's some interviews in fly shops, and you kind of talk to some locals, so kind of help us understand, round out the movie for us.
Okay, so as part of the history process of this film, to bring out the history, many people are familiar with the Deddies, who are a fixture of fly tying in Roscoe, this beginning in the 1920s. It's the oldest fly shop, continuously running fly shop in America. And Joe Fox, who's the great-grandson of Walt and Winnie Deddy, is in the film. He talks about his great-grandparents and the stories that he heard in and about Roscoe. So that comes out very nicely in the film as part of history. We have an interview with a fellow named Dennis Skarka, who unfortunately passed away suddenly right after we filmed him. Dennis is the owner of a fly shop called Catskill Flies. He's a great traditional Catskill fly tier. He has a great shop, and he's a real character. So he rounds out the fly tying portion of the film. And when we address the tires, then we go back to the Rube Crosses and all the tires from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s who, you know, fill in that gap of fly tying. Sport is very diverse. There's fly fishing, and then there's fly tying. It's not like in baseball, you don't go out and make your own baseball bat and ball. So this sport encompasses a lot.
Yeah.
So we have the tire section of the film. We have the fishermen, the great fishermen, the great flyers, many of them overlapped. And then environmental.
Yeah.
We bring in the conservation organizations that are active in the Catskills.
Right. I know the time commitment. I know the money commitment that went behind putting a movie like this together. And I think, and I know the quality in the final product has come out in the quality of the film. The cinematography is fantastic. So your director, Aaron, and yourself, and the story, the executive producer, just did a phenomenal job. How can somebody, I know you're about to release it. I know there's a distribution plan here. Tell our listeners how and when and what the process is for them to see the movie.
First, I have to thank a man named Billy Richards. Billy Richards is a helicopter pilot who does all of Clint Eastwood's movies. He's a good friend of mine. Billy would not even charge me for fuel, so
I
lucked out on this project.
Yeah, you got some favor.
The helicopter. So anyway, the movie is going into distribution with a company called Cinema Libre Studio. It will be available shortly, meaning within probably a couple months, in every conceivable way that you would want to have it. Streaming,
okay.
Video on demand, Blu-ray, actual physical Blu-rays, DVDs.
So we can just buy it through the internet and just download it.
You're going to be able to. Once they get situated.
That's awesome.
We're going to do special events with it. We're going to do what they call 1 and 2 outs in theaters.
Like fundraisers and stuff?
Fundraisers. We're going to go into hotbed towns such as Deposit and Hancock with the film through Cinema Libre. And, you know, we're going to sell tickets and let people watch the film.
That's awesome.
We're getting a huge demand right now for it. It's sort of probably my fault in a way. You know, I kept telling people any day now or now.
And you're a perfectionist, and you want it to be perfect, and there's a lot of steps you have to hit along the way to make sure it's how you want it in the end. And our listeners can follow along in the process here at landoflittlerivers.com.
That's correct.
And they can actually see, you know, timetables on when they might be able to purchase it and where and the how and all that good stuff.
See the story behind the film, the characters.
Trailers.
The trailers, the directors, the producer, you know, everybody that was involved.
Good.
And their backgrounds.
Bruce, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on our podcast. It's landoflittlerivers.com. We're going to put the link in the show notes on the website, on Facebook, and all the places you find our podcast. You'll be able to find the link, landoflittlerivers.com. Our listeners can follow and see when and how they can go about watching the movie. It's been great to have you on.
Hey, Rob. Great. I really appreciate it.
It's been fun hearing the stories of the Catskill areas and
Catskills.
And the history of some really cool people. And that story about Joan Wolfe kind of got me. That was great.
You know, you'll probably edit this out, Rob, but when I looked over at you, you had a couple of tears. I had tears in my eyes. Just every time I tell that story, I get tears in my eyes. But I could see that.
I was moved by that.
I could see you were moved.
It's been great having you on, Bruce.
Okay, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. For past episodes, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us.